You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 134.
You can be the best wholesaler and have that goal accomplished. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if you want to go down the other path, you better figure that out quick and start to make moves to actually put it into that passive income stream, because just like you mentioned, the cumulative effect of making positive decisions and positive actions towards building a passive income stream is powerful.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What is up? What is up? What's going on, everyone? Alex here. And guys, I have a cool guest joining us here on this particular episode, in this particular masterclass, my buddy Greg Cohen. Now, just to give you guys a little bit of background, Greg is somebody who I met back in 2006 at a mastermind that we were both attending with Than Merrill. Than, not sure if I've ever mentioned this in the past, but Than Merrill, you know, star of A&E's Flip This House and Fortune Builders and all that good stuff. One of my first mentors in this business, somebody I learned a lot from, and he's actually Greg Cohen's mentor as well. And Greg and I struck up a friendship at that mastermind in Curacao back in 2006, and we've maintained contact ever since. And it's just been awesome to see his growth as an investor and an entrepreneur. He's the co-founder and CEO of JW Real Estate Capital out in Jacksonville, and right now, you know, they operate an awesome, awesome turnkey company. They serve just over 550 clients all over the world, you know, 43 states and 13 countries. And clients have invested more than $114 million, you know, in cash flowing properties with Greg's company since 2006. And to give you guys a little bit of background as to the type of, you know, just the quality of an entrepreneur and just even better person. But, you know, Greg's company has purchased over 2,500 investment properties since 2006. They've renovated over 1,500 properties. They've built over 500 new construction homes and have managed over 1,600 properties. So in the last 10 years, needless to say, you know, Greg and his team have been pretty damn busy, and they've built a very impressive business. So somebody, I think, you're really going to learn a lot from on today's masterclass. And, you know, just some other cool stats. Inc. 500 has named them one of the fastest growing companies 5 years in a row. Inc. Magazine's best places to work in 2017. They've been featured in all these publications from Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Bloomberg, Realty Track. The list goes on and on. Basically, all that to summarize and just say, this is Greg is somebody you can learn a lot from, somebody you should listen to, and it's a pleasure to have him on the show. Greg, what's going on, my friend? How you doing?
Hey, Alex. Good to be here, buddy.
It's awesome to do this once again. So, guys, funny story before we get into the heart here with my buddy Greg Cohen. So, we actually, last week, we recorded this awesome, like, masterclass episode. At least I thought it was awesome. And I know I recorded it, but come to find out, the damn thing didn't record. And so Greg was super cool about it. And so we are back here for take two. And hopefully we can match, you know, what we did last week that obviously you guys weren't able to hear. But I don't know, man, I think this is a blessing in disguise. So I appreciate you hopping on again.
Absolutely, man. Any more quality time with my good buddy, Alex Pardo, you know, I'm always
I'll take it, man. I'll take it. So guys, just so you know, obviously you heard on the intro, Greg and I go back all the way to 2006. We met in Curacao at a mastermind with a mutual friend and mentor, Than Merrill, somebody who we both have learned a ton from throughout the years. And he was probably one of the first friends I ever made as a result of me being in this business, somebody that, you know, I've maintained contact with throughout the years. And it's just been amazing to watch his growth. And so, Greg, man, I'd like to kind of pick it up from there. I know a lot of what we're going to get into today is, you know, you run a turnkey company out of Jacksonville now. You're servicing over 550 clients. And so we're definitely going to talk about a lot of property management, because I really think that's critical when it comes to, you know, managing properties. Even if you're a landlord and you just have one property, or if buying and holding property is going to be part of your wealth strategy moving forward, I know you're going to get a lot out of this episode. But talk to us about you know, how you got started in the business and then just your progression as an investor, as an entrepreneur to get to the point where you are today.
Absolutely. It's really fun to think back about what our mutual journey has been like. You know, I remember going to that conference and seeing you there, and it wasn't that big of a conference, but you know, there was just a lot of special relationships that were there at that conference. And, you know, it's been great to watch your success all along the way. I know I've learned a ton from you. And, you know, we have chosen a slightly different path towards what we wanted to do in real estate. And that's okay. You know, mm-hmm. Owning rental properties, building a property management company, servicing turnkey clients is ultimately where we found our niche. But it wasn't always that way. And I know I can relate to a lot of folks on our podcast today. Maybe some who are starting out, maybe some who are a little bit farther advanced, but you might not know exactly where your path is. We started out wholesaling, which is again, why I love Flip Empire, right? It is such a great place to start.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, we started out wholesaling, but for us, we always knew that our end goal was passive income. That's what just attracted me to this business model. I came from a corporate
America. Oh man, don't remind me.
Yeah, right. We were cut from the same cloth there. I came from that type of environment. And I remember when I read the book Rich Dad Poor Dad that the thing that just was a light bulb for me was this idea of passive income. And it wasn't about earning this huge pile of money for me and buying fancy cars and all this stuff. It was about how can I make more income coming each month passively than what I was spending. Mm-hmm. And that was just such a cool concept and really earth shattering for me at that time.
Yeah.
You know, but when I was starting out, I didn't have enough money to do it. I didn't have enough experience to do it. I didn't know what I was doing. And so the first thing we did was we started out wholesaling. And we did that so that we could gain the capital, we could gain the experience, we could learn how to renovate homes the right way. But not actually having to renovate them. We could think like the rehabber, sell it to a rehabber, make sure they could make money in it as a training tool for us without us having to put our own capital in the game. So our first year, we wholesaled about 25 properties. That was our goal, and we were really ecstatic to hit that goal and really just kind of accomplish something that I remember a lot of people around us at that point were telling us we couldn't do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure you had the same experience.
Absolutely. Right? I can relate, man, for sure.
So we wholesaled really for the first year or two. That's pretty much all we did. Built that capital up. And then at that point, we really started to renovate homes, and we started to actually hold our own properties.
Okay. Greg, let me interject for a second, man, because I think hopefully this resonates with people listening in right now. Do you think that a mistake, in your opinion, that a lot of wholesalers make is that, not that there's anything wrong with just always wholesaling, because if that's what you love and that's what your passion is, you can make a lot of money wholesaling. It's, as you know, practically no risk. And so do you think that a mistake people make is that they don't reinvest the profits from their wholesaling business into like a bigger play, like buy and hold properties? Because you and I both know that wholesaling, it's a job, right? It's a transactional business. And again, you can make a lot of money and live a great lifestyle wholesaling, but it requires work. And yes, you can build the team and you can automate a lot of the business, but it's transactional. You got to go out there and keep doing deals. Do you think a mistake that you've seen people make is just not thinking bigger, maybe not taking some of the profits from that business and rolling it into, buy and hold properties that can provide just more wealth long term?
You know, I think that a lot of it comes down to how people are wired and what their goals are. And there are some folks out there that wholesaling can be a great lifestyle. Just like you mentioned, it is. I look at it as a very lucrative job.
Yeah,
it is active. But I would say for some folks that might be what they want. Mm-hmm. Right.
Agreed.
I'm wired differently. For me, I really looked at the passive income side as where I wanted to be. And I think that creates a, you know, that's my definition of wealth, is the passive income being more than my expenses.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a different goal and a different strategy for other folks. So I would say it's certainly okay if people want to do it. But if you're like me, and you do want to go out and build that passive income stream, then you do want to make a transition from wholesaling into putting some of those profits into things that are going to provide that income stream. And you want to do it as early as you can.
Yeah.
Because if you wait too long, you miss out on a lot of the benefits of holding assets.
Oh, that's so true, man.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and you can never get that time back, obviously.
Absolutely. You know, so you want to kind of have a really clear picture of what you want to get out of this, you know, and if you want to make large sums of money and not be very capital intensive and not, you know, need to go out there and manage contractors to get the renovation done, you can be the best wholesaler and have that goal accomplished. There's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But if you want to go down the other path, you better figure that out quick and start to make moves to actually put it into that passive income stream, because just like you mentioned, the cumulative effect of making positive decisions and positive actions towards building a passive income stream is powerful.
That's awesome. I think I'm gonna use that little snippet, that quote that you just said right there, and use it as a teaser at the beginning of this podcast, because there's a lot of power in what you just said right there. So,
yeah, I think there was a lot of alliteration in it too. That was pretty good, right?
That was pretty damn good, actually, man. That needs to be on the front or the back of maybe your first or second book, man. I like it, man. I like it. Well, cool, man. I didn't mean to interject there, but you know, so. Obviously, you started wholesaling, and now, you know, you guys, I mean, I was checking out your bio, man, and you've done, what, over 2,500 deals. You know, you've renovated over 1,500 homes. I saw there was like 500 new construction properties. Like, what is it you guys haven't done at this point? Bridge the gap for us. Like, how did you get from wholesaling, which I think is where a lot of us start out, to, you know, having that kind of resume?
You know, man, it's been quite a journey. It's funny to think about what 12 years has been for us. You know, I think the biggest things for us is that we always knew what we wanted to do was to build that passive income stream for ourselves. So we really, every step along the way, even though we might not have been buying a rental property, was towards this ultimate goal of building up a substantial rental portfolio for ourselves and helping other people do the same.
Yeah.
You know, some of the biggest things, you know, so we were wholesaling for a couple of years. We went out and bought 30 or 40 rental properties in within the first couple of years of that. That was probably 2008. We owned about 40 rentals and we managed everything ourselves in the beginning because we wanted to learn how to do this business the right way. You know, we certainly have had our share of struggles. I mean, I don't want this to sound like, listen, this is, you know, eating out of a silver spoon or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, we were all there in 2008 when we, as an economy, we were facing something we hadn't seen ever, and certainly not in a long time. And there were some struggles, but you know, we used those struggles as a way to kind of double down on our business model, which was to buy rental properties for ourselves and to serve others who wanted to build a portfolio. And the thing that we really did that's kind of catapulted our growth is we took a different approach to building a team than I think most people do. You know, we have over 50 people in our office now. Our culture is what drives our business. I've been blessed to win Best Places to Work in a number of different publications.
That's
and
magazines. So awesome.
One. And I tell you, man, we took this approach and we, again, were spending a lot of money that technically we didn't have to. This was at a time in 2008, 2009, 2010 when businesses were closing up left and right. Mm-hmm. But we were just committed. We knew that a strong culture was something that was going to set us apart, that our clients were going to feel it, and that it was impossible to replicate. And so we made a lot of investments in our culture and continue to do that today. You know, we provide lunch for our team every day. We volunteer together. We take company time every single month or every other month and volunteer. We're hosting our first charity golf tournament this year.
I saw that, man. I got an email about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say that was a really big mindset shift from what others were doing, and that really is the biggest thing that has catapulted our growth to where we are today.
Greg, I know this wasn't planned, man. Hopefully you don't mind spending a few more minutes on that, because, you know, honestly, I need to do a better job of talking about some of those things that might not sound sexy to people listening in, but it's so critically important. And something that honestly, in my business, you know, without you even knowing, you're probably challenging me to really think about the culture in my business. Even though we have different businesses, you know, every business has a culture, whether you want it to have one or not. Mm-hmm. Can you spend a little bit of time talking about that? I mean, you kind of touched on it already, you know, some of the perks that your employees and your team members get, like you mm-hmm. provide lunch for them and you guys volunteer as a group together and you're hosting the charity golf tournament now. Can you talk about the mindset and what it takes? Like, how did you guys in 2008-09, when you really started to invest in the culture of your business and your team, can you just talk about how that process went about for you? Because, you know, mm-hmm. again, guys, if you're listening in, whether you know it or not, even if you're a one man show, you're creating a culture. Mm-hmm. And when you start to build a team, you have a culture in place already. And so you just need to be mindful of what that culture is. And so if you don't mind, man, again, I know this wasn't talked about in the past, but if you don't mind just spending a few minutes, and then we'll kind of pivot into the property management stuff, because I know that's the meat and potatoes of probably what people want to hear. But man, this is really important in my opinion. So
yeah, well, I'll tell you, it is something that we recognize as a huge opportunity. We didn't see many people doing it in you know, companies in general, and certainly not in real estate, and not in our niche in real estate. We just thought it was important. You know, I can tell you, it is a slow process to do it the right way. It's supposed to be a slow process. It has to be a slow process to do it the right way. It requires spending money that you don't know if you're going to see your return on in the mm-hmm. short run. You know, it requires that type of dedication to do it and commitment to do it. But you know, what happens is you bring on people that you generally like to be around.
Yeah.
You know, I think it starts there. Sounds kind of simple, but you know, we always adopted the mentality that we work so hard, right? We spend a lot of hours at the office. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really simple. Why don't we bring people on board that we want to be around?
Yeah, no, it sounds, but you know, it sounds obvious, but probably to a lot of people, they've never really even thought about it like that.
Yeah. You know, and so we really care about the people that we bring on board. You guys, everybody on this podcast would be absolutely surprised to hear about our interview process. I mean, it is literally I think it's 9 steps now. We just added a new step, which is our last step, which is our shadow. But there are so many hoops that we make people jump through. And I just mentioned the shadow. Now we have people come and work a day in our office just, and of course we haven't hired them yet. We have them sit down in the role. Part of that is to see if they like the role. Yeah. Part of that is for us to see if we like them in the role. Like, we like looking across from them and talking to them every day and seeing them smile and whatnot, you know?
That is so cool. I love that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all starts with hiring the right people, but then the next step is getting those people to believe what you believe. Uh-huh. And that's not coming from some company speech that I would give. That's not coming from us hitting some sales target or whatnot. It's the daily activities over the many, many years of people seeing who you are and how you act. And that's kind of where it started. The really cool thing, and when you know that you have a culture that is a driver for you and for your success, is when the teammates you bring on board are leading the culture.
Yeah. Man, that's inspiring, dude. That's awesome. I appreciate you just taking a few minutes to share that. And to piggyback, one last point before we move on to the property management piece of this whole podcast is, I don't know, do you know Trevor Mock from OnCarrot.com?
Yeah, I've known Trevor for a long time. I haven't talked with him in years, but yeah. I knew him from a couple other marketing things back in the day.
Yeah, Trevor's a good dude. And you guys, I got to reconnect to you guys, because I think we all three of us share similar mindsets. And I remember I was talking to Trevor not too long ago. This maybe was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. And he said something that jumped out at me. I didn't even really make a comment about it, but it kind of stuck with me. He said something to the effect of, we were talking about culture, this type of conversation. And he said something, he's like, you know, our clients are so important to us that if we don't want to sit down and have a beer with them, then something's wrong. Yeah. Right. And so I think we were having a conversation because we were talking about, you know, the private sellers that we do deals with and our cash buyers who are really our clients. And we were talking about, as an industry as a whole, how can we like push the envelope and how can we progress as a space, as an industry to want to, you know, because let's be honest, real estate investors, generally speaking, don't really have the best reputation. Maybe it's because of, you know, the scam artists out there and all this crazy stuff that used to happen back in the day. But, you know, we were just having a conversation about how can we bring light to all the good that real estate investors do, right? And and he brought up that comment that just stuck with me. And now I think, you know, would I want to have a beer with our clients? Would I want to sit down and go on vacation with my team members? And if the answer is no, you know, you should really kind of look at the culture of your business.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value there. I mean, people just believe that just because somebody else has enough money to do business with you, that somehow you're just forced to do business with them. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not the way it is. That's not the way it is for our clients, right? I mean, well, if they're going to buy a rental property with us, yeah, they got to have enough money. But, you know, this is also a mutual fit. This is a mutual decision. And there are many times where we, you know, think about working with potential clients, but I know that they're not going to be easy to talk to. They're not going to let us make the decisions we should need to make. It's not going to be a healthy working relationship. And so for their benefit and for our benefit, we decide not to work together, even though they have the money. And I think more businesses should be that way, right? And same thing with employees, right? Just because an employee has the skills and the experience and looks great on paper, you know, that doesn't mean that they are a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to enjoy talking to them? Do they smile, right?
Right, you know, right.
There's just a higher threshold, I think, to do business with or to have on your team or whatnot. And it really pays off, you know, your 50th, your 100th, your, you know, 500th client, if you continue to follow that type of progression, man, you just love your business.
Yeah,
you
know? that is so awesome. And I'm glad we definitely spent some time talking about this because it's just, it's everything really, I think. So, cool, man. Well, yeah, let's pivot into the property management side. I mean, you know, obviously you run the turnkey operation out of Jacksonville. Again, I mentioned you guys have over 550 clients. So I'd say, you know, a thing or two about property management, right? I know in your opinion and in mine as well, you know, that's probably the single most important decision, I think, when it comes to, you know, if you're thinking about building an income portfolio, a passive income portfolio. Can you just talk about property management and why that's such an important part? And, you know, I guess what I'd like to do is maybe cater the content to the person listening that they want passive income coming in and they don't have any rental properties, and the guy or gal that might have 5, 10, 20 properties that they're managing, you know, or maybe they have a property management company and they're not happy with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned it's the most important part of the decision. It absolutely is. And I think when you break down why most property management companies fail to deliver on the expectations with their clients, it's pretty clear as to why that's happening, right? And these are some lessons and some tricks and things that you can think about it as well if you are managing your own properties, if you already have a property manager. You know, these are things that have helped me to build a better passive income portfolio for myself and obviously for our clients too. But I remember when we first looked at the property management business, what we saw was a business where the property manager is actually incentivized to make more money the shorter the amount of time the tenant stays in the home. And that's not cool. Yeah. That's not good, right? Especially if you're thinking about ultimately building a portfolio of 5, 10, 100 rental homes, right? You need to make sure that the manager who is responsible for delivering cash flows for you is incentivized to have long-term tenant stays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously as a landlord or as somebody that, you know, that owns a passive income portfolio, your goal is to have tenant, like you want stability. You want tenants there long-term. And it's interesting that when we were recording this last week, that kind of hit me between the eyes, because I've always known that, but it never really registered that, you know, a property management company's goals and your goals are just not built to be in alignment, because they get paid when with the turnover, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Let's kind of break that down so we can see how the numbers work, because I want everybody on the call to listen and think about yourself as an owner of a property management company, because this is the person that you're really entrusting the success of your passive income portfolio to. All right. You want to get inside their head a little bit. So for a standalone property management company, they're going to make money every time a new resident is put in the home. It's called a tenant placement fee. It's typically equal to 1 month's rent. So if the rent is $1,000 a month, day one, when they put that new resident in your home, they earn $1,000, mm-hmm. right? Well, the other income stream for them is they're going to make monthly management fees. And typically, they're going to make 10% of the rent they collect for you. So again, if they make $1,000 is the tenant placement fee they made, the rent each month is $1,000. So on the management fee side, they're going to make $100 a month.
Right.
Right. So day one, they're going to earn $1,000 by putting a new resident in your home. After working an entire year, they're going to earn $1,200.
Right.
And during that entire year, I know, because I manage over 1,600 rental properties, there is a lot of work that goes there. There's building the relationship with the resident, collecting rent. If there's any maintenance issues, you got to take care of it. There is the accounting. There's the client service to the owner. I mean, there is a tremendous amount of work. And you make about the same amount of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as an owner, as an entrepreneur, which we all are, we like to think about the best dollar per hour activities. Well, the best dollar per hour activity for a standalone property management company is actually filling your home with new residents.
Tenant placement fees. Yeah. I mean, their goal, they make $1,000 a pop. So it's a no-brainer from like a bottom line perspective, right?
Absolutely. But yeah. that doesn't serve you very well, because if you actually break down the numbers of it, you need your residents to stay at least 2 years in your property in order to have the best chance to hit your return goals. That's our internal, you know, standard. We need to keep our residents in homes for at least 2 years. And if you break the numbers down, we're probably going to hit the return requirements if we go 2 years or longer. But, you know, we just talked about how property management companies are actually incentivized for shorter stays. This is a big reason why you only see, well, I won't say only, the vast majority of property management companies sign 1 year leases and do not sign 2 and 3 year leases. Right?
Right.
I remember talking last week. I don't know of any aside from you guys that do more than 1 year.
Yeah.
So
why do you think that is?
Yeah. They don't make as much money that way.
They don't make as much money. And, you know, can you go back to when you were renting, Alex? Did you ever sign up for a 2 or a 3 year lease when you were renting a house?
I did not.
No, me either. Yeah. Right. It's harder to find residents that want to stay for 2 or 3 years as the management company. So, you know, if you go in and you go and try and find a property management company, you have to look for a special one who gets the long-term vision and is incentivized to actually sign people long-term. Because if not, if you just go to any standalone property management company, you're going to be asking them to work twice as hard and make half as much.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
So that's why it normally doesn't work. But you can find folks that are incentivized the right way. But if there's a takeaway out of this conversation for anyone, whether you're starting out or whether you have a 10 property portfolio already, when you're sitting down and interviewing your property manager, make sure you're convinced that when your tenant stays longer, they make more money.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I love it, man. So what do you guys do to, like, you know, you just talked about how it's very difficult to find tenants to sign 2 and 3 year leases. Can you talk a little bit about how you incentivize the tenant to want to stay long term in your property?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is hard work. We need to make sure that residents want to stay a long time. And I think another key point that a lot of people don't pay attention to is that you need to treat the resident like gold for this whole model to work, right? We need happy residents that are going to not just stay 2 years, but many years later. And they have to look at this as a long-term win, right? They need to see mm-hmm. value in what you're providing from a cost perspective, but also from a a service perspective. Your service needs to stand out. They need to want to be with you. So the way that we, you know, make this happen, we try to create not just a win for the client, not just a win for us, but a win for the resident. And just like I was mentioning, if tenants stay a long time over those 2 years, the client generally is going to win when it comes to their returns. Well, the thing that we do for the resident is that if they sign a 3-year lease, we agree that we're going to hold their rent constant for those 3 years. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have rent increases during those 3 years. And in an environment like we have today where rents are very much going up across
the country. Yeah, it's very attractive.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a standard lease of 2 years. We don't even talk about a 1-year lease. So we let people know we specialize in long-term leases, never discuss a 1-year lease. We will turn away residents that say they want a 1-year lease. Mm-hmm. We just don't do it. So our standard is a 2-year. And then for 3 years, if a resident signs up, then we keep the rent constant for those 3 years.
Yeah. And I think you were telling me, Greg, that you right now your stats are somewhere around 70% of your leases are re-signed when they come up for renewal.
Yeah. And so that's the other way that a property management company can really win for an owner. You know, you're going to save a property management company is going to save you as an owner thousands of dollars if they are really good at renewing their residents. You know, so this is something we focus on. I mean, most property management companies don't even really pay much attention to re-signing residents. Number one, because they don't have great relationships with the residents. And number two, because, again, they make a lot more money when they put a new resident in than when they would just renew the same one. So they don't have a financial incentive. But you know, our team is trained to look at this as a sales opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, we re-signed 70% of our leases that come up for renewal. And this is a great way for us to overperform.
That's awesome. Yeah. I really love the way that you guys have positioned yourself as a company and how, like, it's very clear what your unique selling proposition is and how you stand apart from all the other property management companies out there. And even from just the turnkey providers. Talk to us a little bit here and we'll start to kind of wind down the show at this point. But, you know, for everybody listening in, if you're in a position where, you know, you're sitting on capital and maybe it's in a retirement account or maybe it's in a bank account and you're just not sure what to do with it, maybe you don't have the time or the resources or you haven't built the infrastructure and you just don't want to manage the properties yourself, but you want to start generating passive income. One of the truest ways that I know to really, really get passive income is to invest with a company like Greg's that does things the right way. You know, it's a turnkey provider, right? And somebody who their goals are in alignment with yours, which is what we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about. Greg, can you talk a little bit about like the type of client that you look for to invest with you guys out in Jacksonville in turnkey properties?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, this is all built the way that we invest with our own money is very much what how we train our clients to think as well. And many of them think that way when coming to us. But you know, this methodology that we have is it's not rocket science. It's not brand new. It's pretty simple. If you invest in an asset that pays for itself every single month, like real estate, like cash flowing rental properties, and you have a long term horizon, meaning you are not trying to flip this thing next week or next year, most of the time in real estate, you're going to win. Uh-huh. Right? So most people can think about that, know that, but they have a struggle with enduring the process of holding because they're scared to be landlords. They're scared that, you know, you're going to get the late night phone call from the resident. They're scared that they're working with a property management team that doesn't care, that won't return their phone calls, that doesn't think the way that they do. You know, so our approach in attracting the right clients for us has been to find those folks that believe that holding on to rental properties long term is the right way. You know, point number one that we just described, and then solve that problem for them where they can have a wonderful experience working with a team that may be thousands of miles away. I mean, we have clients in 42 states and 13 countries now. Mm. So some of them are, you know, in different countries, but they all feel like we have their back. You know, we can give them that peace of mind because we obviously think the same. We take care of their money as if it was our own.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, so that's who we really look for. Obviously, we want to make sure that they believe those things that we believe. And we need them to be passive. That's the other thing, right? We are built to run, meaning that we want to work with folks that have done their due diligence on us, have interviewed us, have decided that we're worthy of the responsibility of taking care of their money. And then we want them to sit back and let us
be hands off. Yeah,
exactly. So,
right. You don't want the person calling in every other day asking about this and that and trying to make decisions. I mean, you're looking for a very specific type of client that they've chosen to trust you guys, and for good reason, and sit back and let you guys go to work to earn them a return.
That's it. And for many folks, for the right client, they already want that, right? I mean, they are very busy. They do not want to be a property manager themselves. So if you're somebody in that same mindset, then this can be a great thing for you. Yeah. For some folks, they just want to be a little bit hands-on, and that can be really successful, but probably just not with us. Mm-hmm. You know, we are a well-oiled machine. We care about saving days all along the process, and you know, we just want to be measured on your overall experience. Do you love working with us? And then, did we hit your return number? And that's kind of what we're here to do for folks.
Fantastic, man. Well, guys, we actually set up a page for you. It's a very simple web form. If you want to connect, first of all, if you're interested, if this is something that you really think, you know, you'd like to connect with Greg's team about, and you have interest in, you know, investing in properties, turnkey properties out in the Jacksonville area, specifically with Greg's team, and have them manage everything from A to Z, we set up a simple page for you guys to check out. Just go to flipempire.com/passive. flipempire.com/passive. Very simple web form there, and you guys will even get a passive income information kit that'll get sent to you, and then somebody from Greg's team will connect with you guys and just see if it's a good fit, and, you know, answer any questions you have. I mean, Greg, I'm not 100% sure the process. Maybe you can spend a minute talking about that, but I just want to make sure it's, you know, it's if you have any interest and, you know, you're just sitting on money and it's not doing anything for you, and you truly, truly want it to be passive, I 100% stand behind Greg and his team. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that, Alex. Yeah, so we're really big about getting on the phone and talking with folks. I think that's the beginning of a really healthy working relationship. And, you know, so if you go ahead and let us know and raise your hand that you'd like us to reach out, you're going to get a phone call from us very quickly after that. That passive income information kit should be really valuable for everybody to read here. This is something that I've written personally. A lot of the methodologies that we talked about here on the show are explained in more detail there. There's some case studies, you know, a lot of things that'll really kind of paint the picture for what we can do for clients who want to build a passive income portfolio. So, yeah, so you'll get that delivered to you over email, and you'll hear from my team in a very short while, and we'll look to pick up the conversation and see how we can help.
Love it, Greg. Well, hey, man, before we wrap up, dude, I just want to acknowledge you, man. You're a friend, man. And it's just been awesome to see your growth, you know, individually and just as a company, man. So, you know, I'm proud of all of you and all your success. So it was cool to have you on, man. I think people are going to get a lot out of this. I particularly, you know, I wanted to have you on to talk about property management and turnkey, which we accomplished. And I think in addition to that, something that was extremely valuable for me personally was just a piece on culture. And hopefully that kind of shines through here and resonates with people listening in as well. So dude, I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me, Alex. I mean, this is just cool on so many levels to be here with you. And, you know, it's fun to think back to the good old days. You know, you and I started very green in this business and have become leaders and really can kind of empower others to grow like we were empowered back in the day. So it's always great to give back, and let me know the next time we're going to do it, man. Happy to help.
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Well, guys, definitely, if you have any interest and you want that passive information kit, you want to reach out to Greg's team, just go to flipempire.com/passive. And other than that, I'd love to hear from you. Tag me on social media. Let me know your thoughts on the show. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Other than that, I'll catch you guys on the next show. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.